Do you got Wi-Fi? So I ain't got no signal on my phone. Me in these hills and we all alone. Yeah. Do you got Wi-Fi?
No. What is it?
This, Jen, is the internet.
Hang on. It doesn't have any wires or anything.
It's wireless.
Oh, yes, everything's wireless nowadays, isn't it?
Here are my ideas for creative Wi-Fi password. Password number one is, give me $500. Yeah. Sure, what's your Wi-Fi password? Give me $500. For what? For what? What? Why should I give you $500? You want to give me $500? No? Then?
Boy, I got Wi-Fi. And my service is nice at that. And it comes at no price at that. Let me know where your iPhone is to log on my Wi-Fi.
You know, like internet, like phone, he's like, oh, Wi-Fi, Wi-Fi. Yeah, we got Wi-Fi.
Oh boy, it's Encyclopedia Brunch. My name is Tim Dobbs. With me, as ever, through the internet, using a very special technology, her name is Catherine Kogert.
What? How topical. Oh my goodness. You know, it's so unlike, it's just really unlike us. You know, here on Encyclopedia Brunch, we like to take a topic and we like to casually approach the topic, you know, like you would with your friends at lunch and you're a little bit worried about bringing up your friend's skin problem, I guess.
Oh, goodness. Oh my.
But you gotta amp up to it. But no, not this episode. This episode. We took our topic and we introduced it right out of the gate.
Yeah, it feels like we in the brunch metaphor, it'd be like talking about the mimosa. Since you're just like, well, it's here. This is the medium through yeah. which we are conversing, and so. So that's right. We're talking about mouths this week. Mouths.
La bouche en français. I always really liked that. Bush in French, really? Bush, really?
Yeah. Like the mighty Bush.
Like I assume that's where Bush. It comes
from. Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
I did find the mighty Bush amusing. Yeah. It's a fun show. It's amusing. This week we're talking about Wi-Fi. That's right. We're talking about wireless fidelity. Listing all our favorite internets. I was trying to make a high fidelity joke like John Cusack, and then I realized I was thinking of the other John Cusack movie where he holds the boombox above his head.
Oh, the one where he's in the mind of a serial killer and then all the emotions are played by people.
Yeah, the one where he's stuck in a New England town in an ice storm.
Yeah, the one where he's an assassin and he's going back to his high school reunion.
Mm-hmm. John Cusack, everybody. Welcome in.
And those are the John Cusack movies we know, everyone. Round of applause. Round of applause.
That's a wrap on John Cusack for this episode.
Oh, let's rap about Cusack.
Well, my name's John Cusack, and I'm here to say I like to act in a major way. My sister's name is Joan, and she's the best, but she... I'm done. That was all I had.
The rest doesn't hold a candle. Oh, I mixed up the words.
Ooh, it's an internal rhyme scheme. Oh, goodness. Let's move on to what we're good at talking about, which is technical things in an okay way. Instead of
great,
yeah,
what do you got?
So Wi-Fi, of course, stands for wireless fidelity, except it doesn't. Oh. Dun dun dun.
What,
yeah, keen eared listeners who will listen back all the way to see also our episode on Wi-Fi that was a short announced episode, saying that we would not be back for a while sometime in 2015, I think. No.
But we're back.
That was a long time ago. I'm glad we came back.
Yeah, we've been doing this show for a while. Yeah.
So keener listeners will remember, though, that Wi-Fi doesn't stand for anything. It is a brand name designed because the actual, like, if you just, the technical name for Wi-Fi is the IEEE standard 802.11. which doesn't have a
real... And that's not sexy.
Yeah, not sexy. It broke the fundamental rule of wireless networking.
Keep it sexy, stupid. Yes.
Yeah, that's what they've always, that's what they taught me when I learned all about networking. They were just like, remember, sexy. And I just had a notepad and I just like a picture of boobs that I'd drawn. And they were like, good, good, you're getting it.
A plus, A plus.
So yeah, so the basic story is that in the 1970s, there was an Australian radio astronomy group who was working on trying to figure out how they could look at all the various radiation signals that come from space and use that to put together like an actual meaningful picture of, in his words, this is a guy named O'Sullivan. He says it was a failed experiment to detect exploding mini black holes the size of an atomic particle. So... those things shoot
and
out
also,
some... Go ahead.
Just like real quick, I want to go through some of these fantastic names involved with this particular project. Terence Percival, who is not a medieval knight, as I had originally thought, but is in fact a researcher in radio astronomy. Also, don't forget my main man, Diet Austrey.
Diet Austrey? But does it taste as good as regular Austrey?
No, it's full of aspartame. Who, surprisingly, aspartame was not a researcher on this project, but you might think so.
Yeah, aspartame Smith. Phenylketone Johnson.
Oh, boy. These are crazy names. But they all came together to develop a key patent that led to Wi-Fi.
Yeah. You got any more, or do you want to share?
The other ones are pretty boring. Graham Daniels and John Dean. Put those down for completionism's sake. But
what about O'Sullivan? What was his first name? I didn't write it down, and I should have.
I believe it's John. John O'Sullivan.
It can't even be like, you know, Magnetosphere.
Smiley O'Sullivan?
Yeah, I like Smiley O'Sullivan. That's very good.
Great. I hope that you name your first child that.
Done. Yeah, so they were trying to figure out like, oh no, all this radiation is like pointing in different directions and it's very hard to interpret. And then lo and behold, what else needs to do that? That's right, wireless radio signals sent from computers, because there's lots of it going around and you have to figure out how to reconnect it into a cohesive picture.
Right, yeah.
So this is often credited as like one of the most important patents that was built into creating Wi-Fi. We had wireless LAN before, where LAN stands for local area network. But it was, you know, we had networking before, but this was just way better. And he worked with the Australian government to actually build out the technology.
Hmm. One thing that I really liked about this particular story is that so the company they hired to come up with the name Wi-Fi, they were like, we have to come up with a name to describe this, I guess, and it can't be IEEE whatever the thing is that you said. I've already forgotten.
802.11. Sorry, this is why they don't hire me for these things.
So they hired a company called Interbrand, which is a terrible name. I'm so sorry, but like, why are you trusting a company called Interbrand to name things? Of course we came up with something stupid like Wi-Fi.
Well, okay, what would you name it that's better? I think so what they said was that it is a play on hi-fi, which was like, you know, considered at the time like, well, this was the 90s by the time this was commercialized.
Right.
But like a hi-fi kind of has this vibe of being like, oh, it's like high fidelity, it doesn't lose a lot, which is one feature of Wi-Fi.
High fidelity was a much more popular movie back then.
Mm-hmm. And like people had hi-fis, right? People remembered having hi-fis. Certainly, you know, like the older tech-savvy men who would probably be mostly interested in getting this at a commercial level had them.
Yeah.
Or at least had like good vibes about their Wi-Fi.
Vibes about their hi-fis. Oh, it rhymed. Ooh.
See, it's a good name.
Oh, well, I got to give it to Interbrand, the company with the worst name ever.
Yeah, that is. I don't know if I would trust them.
No. I'd name a company like Cool Names.
Cool Names, Inc.
Cool Names Inc., which is an incidental, totally accidental reference to a podcast that's now defunct. R.I.P. Cool Games Inc.
R.I.P. It was a good podcast. We like the podcast.
Yeah, yeah. Problematic creators, but you know, the author is dead.
Sure, sure. Chinatown. Forget it, Catherine. It's modern world.
Forget it, Catherine. It's a Woody Allen movie.
Yeah, I don't know, but like, I mean, can you think of a better name? Let's spitball here. It's back to Encyclopedia Brunch Shark Take, swimming. Uh-huh. And I think, I don't know if you remember that's the theme song to Encyclopedia Brunch Shark Tank.
Swimming?
It goes, this is your invention, like man.
Is that another line in the theme song?
It goes, swimming. This is what I know about it. You're the artist. It's right here in the liner notes.
Okay. I feel like you've maybe pinned this on me.
Music and lyrics by Catherine Cogart. Mm. Produced by Catherine Cogart. All right. Rights reserved, Catherine Cogart, 2018.
Okay. Lyrics by Catherine Cogart.
Mm-hmm. It's all here. So,
co-produced by Brian Eno. What?
Oh, yeah. I forgot to mention it goes swimming, but then it does that for like 30 more hours and it just kind of goes out into space,
it's
you know?
Very synthy. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like 800X. Like, anyway, what can we think of something better? So I've come to you. I'm like, hey, I created a pretty good standard to just like let your computer or your phone or whatever talk to another computer or phone without having to be connected to anything. You just like click a few buttons and you're just like talking. What do you want to call that?
I want to call it click-em-ups.
Click-em-ups. Okay. That's we'll put that on the list. Blue Sky, though. No bad ideas.
I want to call it crosstalk, but with computers.
I like crosstalk. It sounds very like in your face. Like I'm really going to learn something on this Sunday morning political show.
Issue one.
What else? Let's see. I think, what about like magic wires?
Magic wires.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Think about it.
So that gives you kind of like Magic Fingers vibes.
Mm-hmm.
And people are really excited and nostalgic for Magic Fingers.
That's all we're talking about all the time.
So in the what's hot right now, could we call it like totally extra? Because this is the thing that the kids say, right? That something is extra. It's like a lot.
Oh, I think extra is old now. I could be wrong.
How about
but
we
I think
call it just
now.
Like, I can't even.
I can't even. TM. TM, TM.
TM, TM, TM. How about Justin Bieber? Can we just call it Justin Bieber?
Catherine, wake up. He hasn't been popular in like 10 years.
Can we call it?
That's it.
Can we call it? Snapchat. Nope, that one's taken. That one is taken.
I'm bringing this episode of Encyclopedia Brunch Shark Take to a close. Swimming. Swimming. We would not like to invest in our ideas. We are not interested in them.
Oh, man.
And we'll be back.
I didn't realize Encyclopedia Brunch Shark Tank was such a, like, exercise in self-loathing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm sorry. Why did you show up? That's why I'm here.
I just like fish.
Oh, well, yeah. Like they say, swimming, swimming.
Yeah, it's right in the lane.
And back in a moment on Encyclopedia Brunch.
When I'm on the road, you can Skype me. I'll follow if you follow me back. You my Wi-Fi wifey. I know your parents don't like me. And your ex wanna fight me. You can hear me up on Snapchat. You my Wi-Fi wifey. What's up, lil' mama, what's good? Follow me back, yeah, I really wish you would. Nick Bean coming straight to your neighborhood. You know I stay fly like a player really should, oh no. Girl, if you snap me, I'ma snap back. And I stay up on your mind like a snapback. Anything you want, you can have that. Body on fleek, girl, you know that I love that. I'm saving money like Geico.
And we're back, taking you away.
Tim, why did you play that song?
You know, because I just want to, like, you know, get double tacked, send me a pic.
Yeah.
I guess I felt like we were...
Everyone send pictures of your dick and or, you know what, whatever you got down there. Send them straight to
Tim
Dobbs.
Not interested.
Care of Tim Dobbs Dick Pic Corporation.
Well, that is what that company was incorporated to do, so. I actually owe it to the shareholders to be processing as many dick pics as possible.
I'm legally obligated to accept any and all pictures of genitalia.
Well, as always, the Encyclopedia Brunch podcast would like to note that you should never, ever send pictures of anything private to yourself without consent. So, but
to yourself? Send them to yourself?
Like about yourself, any of your private body parts. Yeah.
Yeah.
Of oneself. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Get that consent. We love consent.
We love consent here on the Encyclopedia Brunch podcast.
Yeah. Hey, Catherine, would you like to continue doing this episode on Wi-Fi with me?
I would consent to that. Sure.
Wow. This feels great. Isn't enthusiastic consent great?
I feel like we're in this together now.
Yeah. I feel like it's just going to be better. It's going to be a better experience now that we're just like, sure, we're on the same page.
Well, I'm uncomfortable now.
I love consent. What are you going to do?
I guess it's important to have hobbies. So can I, my amigo, my number one pal, Timo Dobbsarino.
Mm-hmm. I feel like a consent question is coming.
Oh, God. Can I get your consent to use your Wi-Fi network and also your Wi-Fi password?
Ooh.
Buddy.
Gotta be a hard no.
Do you think I'm going to put malware on your computer?
It's just I set up the Wi-Fi and the password without thinking that I would ever share it with someone. So it's a little embarrassing.
I'm going to try gonna be a no, like that joke from the beginning.
Oh, remember the joke at the beginning?
Remember the joke at the beginning? This is what we call a callback.
Yeah, this whole thing actually has been part of us who's on first type thing. So why do we have Wi-Fi passwords? Because I just feel like it's just an inconvenience for house guests, right? To like, why can't it just be open Wi-Fi? Free and easy, man.
Well, I mean, for the same reason I don't keep my door unlocked.
Okay.
As murderers be around.
Right.
Yeah. On every corner.
Including internet murderers?
Internet murderers.
Yeah. They just lean on the corner, flipping a coin.
You know, put the Trojan horse thing, and then they're going to steal my bank password. Seems like a tricky one. Yeah, I don't need that.
Yeah, I guess that could happen. I could imagine that being like someone, because there is a different level of security when you're on your home network versus when you're on a public Wi-Fi or whatever.
Yeah. That's why whenever I start up for the day, the first thing I type is 69420 nice.
Mm-hmm.
Just as like a what's up, you know? Because I figure if I keep them if I keep them laughing,
right,
they're not gonna steal from me.
Yeah,
you know?
That's what that song. Make them laugh, so they don't steal your credit card. Make them laugh. That's what it's about. It's about identity theft.
It is. Yeah. It's about how we have no choice but to make them laugh.
That whole musical really was about, sort of the way in which we are held hostage.
Internet privacy and protection. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was really, it was fronted by the Bitcoin Foundation, of course.
Yep, there in the 40s.
Satoshi, what's his face? 50. I'm not sure.
Yeah, see on the right, I believe, I actually have it right here next to me. Right. It's very late in the library, and MGM presents Singin' in the Rain, starring Gene Kelly, Donald O'Connor, who is the guy who sung Make 'em Laugh, Debbie Reynolds, Millard Mitchell, here on the Great Names podcast. Yeah.
I feel like Millard Mitchell probably invented Wi-Fi with everyone else.
1952.
Hmm. Yeah. So, of course, internet security concerns were tantamount at the time.
Absolutely.
Okay, that makes sense to me. That we're all just being like a little safe. It does always just feel like, I don't know, have you ever had the thought that like, well, my Wi-Fi reaches basically it covers my building roughly. Like if I can go in my building, I can go across the street and just barely still get the Wi-Fi signal because of where my router sits. Wi-Fi, of course, just like anything that shoots radio waves, it does better with line of sight. But, you can get around some things with bouncing. So I had the thought, well, why don't I just like share the password with someone downstairs? We all just go in on the internet. Like, we are mostly not using so much bandwidth. And even when we are, well, let's just get the fancy internet. We can afford it because there'll be like eight of us or something. Have you ever had this thought? Is this a this commune-oriented internet approach seem reasonable?
I guess I've had the thought. Sure. Yeah.
And then what happened?
I don't really want to talk to my neighbors. You know, what if like the modem goes down and then I have to knock on their door and be like, hey, can you restart it? Oh, you're not home.
Yeah.
I'm just going to. This blows.
Now you're a sysadmin.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
No, that's actually, that's a pretty good reason. I like the idea of maybe, what about this? So should we kind of like Thomas Jefferson, like build our buildings around certain technologies that we like. So he invented the dumbwaiter, of course. Is that right? Did he invent the dumbwaiter? No, I'm not sure.
What, could it have been Benjamin Franklin?
It might have been Benjamin Franklin. I feel like it was Thomas Jefferson.
Benny Franks?
I heard a thing recently where they were saying like, yes, he invented this and put it into Monticello. But when you think about it, really what he was doing was making it so all the slaves he owned didn't show up at dinner. And so he could continue to pretend that he was a sort of genteel man who believed in freedom for all.
Well, he definitely was a genteel man.
Sure, sure. That's just not always a good thing, is what we've come to learn here in our culture.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I swear that what you were going to say is like, well, he put the dumbwaiter in his home in Monticello, but he never used it.
Sure, like a bread machine. We all thought we were going to.
Like a yogurt maker.
He used it a few times, and then it kind of took up a lot of space.
Then it just, yeah, it gathered dust.
But he couldn't get rid of it because it just sort of, then that represented like a way in which he had hoped to live that is now lost.
Yes, absolutely. It was giving up.
newsflash. The mechanical dumbwaiter was invented by George W. Cannon in New York City.
Oh, he's the genteel.
Yeah. I think Jefferson just had them in Monticello.
Okay.
At any rate.
Big fan.
Big, huge fan. A real cannon head. Well, what I'm suggesting is that we have a sort of like router box that is accessible by all people. You know what it's kind of like? I'm imagining kind of like a hotel room with adjoining doors, but there's two doors. So either side can lock the other one out. You get what I'm saying? And I think the router should live there so that we can all access it.
Sort of in an airlock space?
Yes, a sort of airlock space. This is exactly where the router needs to live so that we can all share it.
Cool.
Yeah. And think about it. We could save like $15 a month. Huge if true.
That's a lot of installation cost.
Yeah. I think really what I like is the idea of living in a culture that would accept that instead of a culture that is like, no, I have to get my own Wi-Fi.
Yeah, no, it's very much we all must have our own castle, and that's not sustainable.
I suppose it's also, I'm not being fair to all the many, many people who live far enough from other people that they must have their own Wi-Fi because it doesn't reach.
Yeah, that's true. Our country fox friends.
Yeah, exactly. I go visit them from time to time, you know, we have an adventure.
We have a nice time together, but you know, at the end of the day, they're happy to go back to the country and I'm happy to go back to the city.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, each their own. What do you think about this, though? Speaking of city and country, vulpine creatures.
I always am. Yeah.
What about like a municipal Wi-Fi? So what if we take this idea of like, I'll share my Wi-Fi with one guy to just be like, why don't we all just get in on the Wi-Fi? We'll pitch in and we'll just have this great Wi-Fi. It's municipal.
Yeah.
Good.
I am a big fan of treating it as though it is just a utility. I do feel like at this stage that internet should be just like a right that you have access to as a citizen, like clean water or electricity.
So why don't we have it yet?
Comcast is jerks. It's a big thing that I keep coming up against.
I was surprised to read in reading about Wi-Fi that my very own San Francisco supposedly has a plan to give us all free Wi-Fi, and this was news to me.
I guess that's not really making the rounds publicly. Maybe they're like really waiting until all of the ducks are in the row before they like, you know, put out a public campaign about it, because they don't want people being like, where my Wi-Fi every 10 minutes and it's taking a while. Because I mean, my understanding is that Wi-Fi, that internet in general, it takes a lot of infrastructure. very, very expensive infrastructure. And it's not always clear who has to pay for the infrastructure. Is it taxpayers or is it cable companies?
Yes, this is the is it a public utility question.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah,
exactly. And like, is it the city or is it taxpayers or where does it come from exactly? Like, what budget is that going to come out of? Because it's a new thing. It's frankly, it's a new thing.
Right. We've had the roads budgets for quite some time. It's harder to figure out like, well, what box is this going?
100%. So like it's going to have to be its own department, you know?
True. I don't know. I'm reading about like how this idea of free Wi-Fi for San Francisco came about, and the mayor who put it forward hasn't been mayor in a while. So, I don't know if this is just not going to happen. They do talk about in issues about what the infrastructure will be, because like technically Earthlink would own it. Is Earthlink still a company? I feel like they're not.
Apparently. I think my grandma had an Earthlink email.
Yeah. So like
to
maybe
give you a sense for where Earthlink stands.
This might have died on the vine. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if we're just doomed to have that, because it seems so. It's one thing if you have to run a wire to everyone's house, which we did with power and phone. But like, yeah, this seems even less than that. You're like, oh, yeah, just have a box out on the pole every 100 feet or something. But I don't know. Yeah, all those questions. I think this comes back to the same. Yeah, I want to live in a world where we can figure these questions out, where we're good enough at organizing to use our technologies well, instead of continually just like putting, you know, more technology and more money at problems.
On gauze pads, on Band-Aids. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm going to go wrap up this gauze pad and this Band-Aid, and we're going to listen to
a little bit more.
The sultry sounds of Nick Bean. Here he comes.
Give me a Wi-Fi check. One that's gonna hit me up. One that's gonna like my pics. She got the Wi-Fi cord. Give me a Wi-Fi tick. One that's gonna hit me up. One that's gonna like my pics. Do you double tap like me? When I'm on the road, you can Skype me. I'll follow if you follow me back. You my Wi-Fi wifey. I know your parents don't like me. And your ex wanna fight me. You can hit me up on Snapchat. You my Wi-Fi wifey.
So, I need a Wi-Fi chick. What do you need?
I think maybe like that David Cross character from that Mr. Show sketch that says, I don't even own a television. You'll notice I call it television, not TV, because TV is a nickname and nicknames are things you give your friends. And television is no friend of mine.
I like that you almost forgot how very long that bit is.
It kind of kept coming. Yeah. I was like, oh, I guess it goes on a while.
Well, speaking of friends, I mean, I think, so we were talking about like the political realities of Wi-Fi and like, could that be used to greater purpose? I think it's actually baked into the technology, which is that I didn't realize this till I was reading about it, but like, it's a good point. This is why you hire a branding company. This is why you hire Interbrand, the best in branding. Interbrand. This is why you do this, is because everyone has to be on board with Wi-Fi, because it's basically just the protocol. Like,
that's
so
accurate, yeah.
A computer has a little antenna. The antenna makes a radio signal, and then it works in a certain pattern. And then an antenna that picks up on the other side has to understand, oh, we're talking Wi-Fi. Okay, I will read this patterns of highs and lows, zeros and ones in a certain way.
And then that connects to the LED lights that I'm controlling from my phone to draw like a cool pattern.
Yeah.
Like a marijuana leaf or
like
something really cool.
Yeah. So this is the beauty of the future.
It's an exciting time we're living in. Yeah. Really, technology is amazing.
But like, it really is amazing. Like, okay, so you go to another country and English is... has a lot of coverage around the world. Like, it's sort of an international language, a lingua franca, ironically. Not everywhere, but a lot of places you can kind of get by in English. But it is a challenge. It's like, it's, you know, maybe, you know, yes, no, sorry, you know, and like...
Maybe here, maybe Yeah. Stick to some keywords, maybe.
But Wi-Fi, you turn it on, your phone is on the internet again. And that's pretty cool, actually.
Yeah, it's really the Esperanto that we've been working on for so long.
I'm trying to think of another thing that we have successfully done this way. We're like, oh yeah, whole world's on Wi-Fi. I can't actually think of one. I mean, I can think of Microsoft has done a really good job of pushing, their systems, but that's kind of
I think everybody's on board with war, it seems like.
Oh yeah, that's true. That concept has really spread. Coca-Cola is actually, I think, pretty broad.
Oh yeah, back to brands.
Yeah. Oh, but in a non-branded way, I think with some variation, it's pretty easy to get a cup of tea or a cup of coffee in most places in the world. Most people understand
hot caffeinated beverage.
Yeah, that would be nice. Oh, you just woke up? Please let me give you this. That's not true everywhere, but
because every country understands. Oh, don't talk to me before I've had my insert beverage of choice.
Wi-Fi.
Here.
Wi-Fi.
Yeah,
I gotta look at Twitter, man.
Wi-Fi, wifey.
Yeah.
That song is going to be stuck in my head until our next episode. I can just tell you right now.
It's beautiful.
Oh, gosh, darn it.
Listeners, go look up Nick Bean, Wi-Fi Wifey. His video is so silly.
My father was Mr. Bean.
Yeah, and his funny car and everything.
He does a lot of hand gestures in the video, Mr. Bean.
Not exactly like Mr. Bean, but sort of in the spirit of Mr. Bean.
it's an evolved Mr. Bean. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What was Mr. Bean's first name? Derek? John?
Terrence Percival?
Terrence Percival Bean. TPB?
TPB.
Yeah, that sounds like a chemical you don't want in your water bottle. Mm-mm.
Yeah. Oh, that has TPB in it. I don't use that anymore.
Oh, yeah. We know it's bad now, so we don't use it. I don't know. I just feel like Wi-Fi, an unmitigated success. That's kind of where I'm landing here. Does that seem fair?
Very optimistic.
What is a bad thing about it? It's great.
The internet in general is a bit of a challenge.
Well, yes. Yes, I'll give you that.
That's a bummer.
And I suppose all our things only work because of Wi-Fi. Like our phones, so they have the one wireless standard of talking on the, your data plan, your 4G, your LTE, whatever. But
thank you, Verizon salesman.
Yeah. Your 2G, your H. Sometimes my phone says H. I don't know what it means. I know it's bad.
Nobody knows. Well, everybody knows. Somebody knows. But
the bad one is E. When you've got the E, you're like, oh no, I basically don't have data.
E for exit this area.
But yeah, so we have that. But the phone really works as a pocket computer because of Wi-Fi, because you can, not blow up your data plan, but still watch videos and stuff without having to imagine a world where we didn't invent this and you have to go where is your Ethernet cable? Is your Ethernet cable over here? And there's just every cafe just has a squid of Ethernet cables hanging down. You have to pull
God,
a clip.
What a crazy thing. Yeah. I mean, there's a teeny tiny window where the Back to the Future sort of we've invented dustproof paper, which is a crazy invention now because we've pretty much done away with the concept of paper. So the Back to the Future version of that is it's a handy Ethernet coiler thing. Yeah. It just snaps into place real quick.
You just shoot this cable into a slot. It's a piece of cake.
Yeah. I mean, if only they'd kept making movies.
Hey, this is ancillary. But what do you think about wireless charging? Is that interesting? It's the same concept, but for power instead of data.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, it is very interesting. It's not going to work for me until you can get the whole room is the wireless charger.
Yeah. But I always
feel... I'm not going to set my phone down and walk away. Right. That's not me.
No.
I'm a terrible person who's addicted to my phone like a monster.
I gotta be on that phone.
24/7. Yeah. How else am I gonna get in touch with my Wi-Fi wifey? I hate that song.
I guess the thing I've thought with the wires make more sense.
Snapback.
Maybe that's what it is. Since that because Wi-Fi does work everywhere. If Wi-Fi had you had to sit it down onto a pad like you do with wireless charging, would not work. Mm-hmm. Which, of course, brings us to Li-Fi. That's right. The future is here, folks. Let's talk about light fidelity. I don't know what Li-Fi is, like a brand on a brand on a brand.
Well, I mean, so Wi-Fi works. They are radio waves that transmit the packets of data that through the internet. So that's what that is. They're radio waves. And Li-Fi asks the question, why do they have to be radio waves? Come on.
Radio waves, just one small section of the radio spectrum.
Yeah. So this does it with the visible light.
So
it does it with the visible light portion of the EM spectrum.
As I recall, the idea was you could just have lights, just regular lights that are lighting something, and they would flicker at such high rates that the human eye couldn't actually catch it. Because, so for instance, Wi-Fi works at 2.4 or 5 gigahertz, which is, a billion hertz, which is a lot. I think, what is the, film is 24 frames per second, and we're talking about 5 billion frames per second. So I think our eyes aren't really going to catch it. Is that all track for you?
It feels like that's actually going to be bad for you after a certain amount of time, though.
The light
flickering? It feels like that's going to be, like lights flickering at very high frequency is going to be like, oh, after a while, this drives you insane, and then you murder your Wi-Fi wifey.
Yeah, yeah. Well, she didn't double tack to like me. Plus, her ex was going to fight me.
It's really a troubled relationship.
Yeah, it's really rough. Yeah, it does feel like that, but I think one can also, I can also imagine thinking that about Wi-Fi, right? Oh, it's just going to shoot beams into my house. These beams are higher frequency than most. We learned, I don't know if you remember this from our episode on microwaves, that Wi-Fi and microwaves actually work on similar frequencies. And yet, like, the idea of putting my hand into a microwave box seems horrible, but like Wi-Fi is doing the same frequency. I mean, it's not focused and it's different in some ways, but
yeah.
I don't know. Is there any evidence? I agree that it seems like that would drive me crazy, but probably not, right?
No. You're right. And the World Health Organization did some research on Wi-Fi, not Li-Fi, Wi-Fi. And found that like a year of exposure to that kind of radio wave was similar to the same amount of radiation you get from like a 20-minute cell phone call. So not that much.
Oh, that's interesting, though. What did they say about like just having your cell phone near you? Because I'm on data. I'm on Wi-Fi. I'm on Snapchat. I'm on Instagram.
Yeah.
What
else are you on?
Is that
name? Eight more things.
I'm on LinkedIn. I'm on KakaoTalk. I'm on GroupMe. I'm on WhatsApp. I'm on Twitter. I'm on, did I say Facebook?
Nope.
All right, I'm on Facebook. I'm on Slack. I'm on probably a few other ones.
You got one more.
Oh, geez.
You got one more.
I'm on Skype. You know I'm on Skype.
Oh, right now you're on Skype. Yeah, you didn't make up anything.
Yeah, that's right. Because I'm on so many, Catherine. It's horrible.
I know. It's hard.
Every time you meet a new person, they're just like, talk to me in a new way. I'm just like, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, we used Ghost Talk. What's Ghost Talk? It's the same app as all the other ones, but I only use
Ghost
Talk.
It's not an app. It's we whisper secrets to ghosts, and then ghosts float over to your friends, and then they tell you the secret.
It's very disruptive.
Yeah, because the lights are flickering on and off, and there's this like a chill, and like, oh, I gotta get my jacket. It's the worst.
Hey, speaking of Skype, tidbit, time for a quick fun fact.
Timbit? That's a Tim Hortons thing. I'm sorry that so many things have been taken up by Tim Hortons. You can't have as much fun with your name that way.
You know, the problem with the name Tim is that it's quite short, and so it really, slots into a lot of things.
Right.
It's not like Mary Lou, where it's just like, oh yeah, what's going to be Mary Lou besides Mary Lou? Go ahead. Yeah. I'll wait.
Mary Sue?
You're right. You got me there. Well, I'm going to go ahead and scratch off Mary Lou from the list of possible alternative names. That's gone. All right. Here's a tidbit about streaming over Wi-Fi. So famously among podcasters, Skype over Wi-Fi, not that great. If you're going to Skype with someone, you should really plug into Ethernet.
Yep.
It's faster.
If you ever feel like my voice feels a little bit weird on the podcast, blame the Skype corporation.
No, that's the point. I mean, yeah, blame them a little because they're not great. It's actually Microsoft.
Yeah, but, Skype Corporation.
Yeah,
that's
sure.
What I call Microsoft.
Okay. You're not one of those M dollar sign people. Remember that? You never saw this?
No.
People would like snarky people in the like 2000s-ish era to like talk about Microsoft because it was cool to like hate on Microsoft. This was before Google and Facebook and there were other people to hate.
Yeah.
You would write you know, just to abbreviate Microsoft, you can write MS, but people would write M dollar sign to be like, oh, they're all about the money.
I like to call it whole paycheck.
Very much. It's the same exact thing.
Okay. Gotcha.
Anyway, so, but streaming has this issue of, and this is also true for like a Netflix, a Hulu, a Crunchyroll, streaming service.
I love that you went obscure with it right off the bat there.
Is it a problem that I'm like, that's the third one I think of? Is there a YouTube?
I think it's the best part about you is that you're very invested in Crunchyroll and you watch a lot of anime, right?
I know a lot of people who are invested.
What's your favorite anime?
I just love that. We did a whole episode on anime. Gurren Lagann.
What is it?
It's good.
You mean Gurren Lagann?
Gurren Lagann, yeah, that's the one I said, absolutely. Okay. You misheard me because of this horrible Skype connection. Because
yeah, it's terrible.
Because when you talk over Wi-Fi or you stream any video over Wi-Fi, it has to go to your router and be converted to Ethernet, which means that it has to swap the headers. See our episode on the internet about how headers work. But basically, the information at the beginning of every little packet of information has to be swapped out so it matches the Ethernet style instead of the Wi-Fi style. And so, because streaming applications don't send it all at once, they stream it, so they do lots and lots of tiny packets. There's so many headers being swapped out that your actual effective bandwidth is way lower. Whereas if you just went straight on Ethernet, it would all be Ethernet all the time.
And that's why it's so hard to watch anime.
Mm-hmm. This is the reason. The only reason. There's no other issues. Like how,
I feel like I've learned a lot today.
Well, I'm glad. What do you think? Should we get Li-Fi? Is that...
Nope.
What's your issue with it?
It just seems impractical.
Yeah,
it's much more dependent on like line of sight, you know, than Wi-Fi is.
Like literally, because radio waves can sometimes work through a wall or something. But light, we make our walls often to not do that.
That is often the point of a room.
So
otherwise, I'd just sleep in my kitchen.
You're like, yeah, this is it. I only got one huge light switch for the whole house. Click.
It's so big.
Yeah, it takes a lot of effort, but you know, I find it's nice to get a little bit of a workout in.
Yeah, every morning.
Yeah.
Or live in the dark.
Or these are the options. You gotta take what you can get.
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you think?
My other issue with Li-Fi really quickly is like, how am I going to sadly watch videos on the internet in the dark alone?
Yeah.
It's really going to cramp my depressive cycle style.
I wasn't thinking about that. I mean, I guess it could be infrared, right?
Could
slowly cook you. Or ultraviolet.
Well, I have been a little underdone lately.
Yeah. No, I think you're done just right. And everyone here at Encyclopedia Brunch thinks you're ready for brunch. That's right. We're giving you the Golden Brunch Prize. That's right. This episode, Catherine wins it. Yay, Catherine. Golden Brunch.
And I'm giving you the French Toast Award for the most French person on the podcast.
Wow. Even after you were the one who brought Boosh, so thoughtless, so selfless and thoughtful. Selfless.
Oh, the opposite of thoughtless. Okay.
Sorry. Those two words rammed together to mean the opposite.
Hey, I think that means it's time to put a cap on this episode.
Yeah.
And forget about it. Like we do with our landfills.
Let's go admire our prizes and then throw them in the very same landfills. The very same. That's Catherine Kogert over there.
Tim Dobbs over here.
Bye.
Bye.